Good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. Our text is going to be in Acts, the first chapter, the third verse. In our text verse, it says, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Let us go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we just thank you for all the blessings you have given us. Thank you for everything you've done for us. And Lord, we're especially thankful for Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection and victory, Lord. And as we consider the things that he did during those 40 days while he was here on earth, Lord, just open our hearts and minds that we may better understand who Jesus, the Son of God, is, that we may better worship him and better serve him. We just thank you for all you've done for us. Ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Title of my message this morning, we talked about before Easter and some of the events that happened. And then last Sunday we talked about Easter, the resurrection, and especially the proofs of the resurrection. And I had used the same verse, "He showed himself alive." And that's what I want to talk about this morning, is continuing that idea that after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he continued here on earth for 40 days showing himself alive. On Easter, that day of the resurrection, Jesus appeared to five individuals or five groups of individuals, and we looked at those: Mary Magdalene, then to the other women, to Peter, to the Emmaus disciples, or the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And then we also talked about to the disciples in the upper room. The disciples on the road to Emmaus had come back, started telling the disciples that they had saw Jesus, he had revealed himself to them in Emmaus, and as they were describing what was happening, we find that Jesus then came in. And that is an important event because there's three Sundays in a row, the first day of the week, that Jesus appears to his disciples, and John records those. And the one we talked about last week was on the first day of the week, as the disciples from Emmaus, telling them about what had happened, they were there, the doors were shut, and verse 19, it says, Jesus stood in the midst. The doors were shut, he just was there. And he said, "Peace unto you." And then he did some stuff. He started showing them his hands, his side, his feet. But it notes in verse 24 that Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. Now, it's kind of interesting. One of the other, I think it was, it's in Luke. And it says that when the disciples came back, the 11 were with Jesus. Now, between him being there and Jesus coming, it appears that at some point Thomas had left this meeting. It says he was not with them when Jesus came. It didn't say that he wasn't with them at all, but it appears that from what we look in Luke and what we see here in John, at some point Thomas had left. And then we go into the second meeting, and it is described as the meeting there the following Sunday, one week. It says 8 days, but the way they counted days, they would count the Sunday to Sunday, so you get 8 days that way. We get seven, we wouldn't count the Sunday, would start on Monday. But after 8 days, or 1 week period, his disciples were within. Now, it's kind of interesting, but if you go back to John 20, this is verse 26. If you go to John 20, verse 25, it's kind of interesting. The disciples, after they had seen Jesus and Thomas wasn't with them, it says the other disciples went and found Thomas and said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." So they were excited about what they had saw that Easter morning or resurrection evening, that they had seen Jesus, and he said, "Come and touch my hands, and this is the proof of my resurrection." And there Thomas says, "Except I see in his hands the prints." Now, I don't know if he does that because they told him that he had done that, but he needed to see in order to believe. "Except I see in his hands the prints and put my finger in the print of the nail and thrust my hand in the side, I will not believe." He was struggling in his faith. You ever struggled in your faith? I think a lot of the disciples were struggling in their faith this week, yet they were so excited to see the Lord. But Thomas couldn't. He needed to have more proof than that. And so as they said unto Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." Now it's interesting, we aren't told of any encounter of the disciples for a whole week. And then the following Sunday, and it says Thomas was with them. It's kind of interesting. Both of those meetings, the first one is described as Thomas not with them, and this one is described as Thomas is now with them. And Jesus came again, doors being shut, stood in the midst. What did he say last time when he first came in? "Peace be unto you." Victory has been won. We can have peace with ourselves. We can have peace with God. Then he looks at Thomas, right? And he says unto Thomas. It's kind of interesting. Peter or Jesus did this to Peter, talking, not Peter, but to Andrew. The disciples, nothing good can come out of Nazareth, and Jesus knew what he was thinking. Jesus didn't hear the words of Thomas. "I can't believe until I see, till I touch." But yet Jesus understood his struggle, looking at Thomas himself. Now, sometimes Thomas gets a bad rap. We call him Doubting Thomas. There are times in which Thomas shows great faith. He was more than willing to go with Jesus to Jerusalem. He said, if you go, I go. Yet we know what happens, but that was, God knew that. God didn't expect them to die with Jesus at that time. But he had exercised great faith at different times. But here, why he left or why he wasn't there the week before, we don't know. The disciples came and tried to tell them. Something I learned from this experience or Thomas's experience, you ever been at church and there just was a great service? And you knew that someone wasn't there, that if they were there, it would have touched their heart. And you go and you tell them about it, and they're like, "So?" The Holy Spirit works on our heart when the Word of God is read and when we gather together. And just to go tell somebody about it isn't the same experience. That doesn't mean we shouldn't tell them about it. But Thomas needed to experience that, to put his faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus said unto him, "Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands," thrust, using his exact words, right? "Thrust it into my side and be not faithless." Jesus said to a father you believe I can heal your son? And he said, I believe, help thou my unbelief, right? That's kind of where I am sometimes. I have faith, but boy, there's that lingering doubt, right? And Jesus said, be not faithless, but believing, having confidence. And Thomas answered and said, I get it, Lord, right? My Lord, my God. And it's interesting, he uses those two phrases. My Lord is Adonai, meaning master. I will serve you. I will be dedicated unto you. And then he says, my God, my Jehovah, the one that I will worship. So basically, he's saying two things. One, I will serve you. Two, I will worship you because what you have done for me. And then Jesus goes on and he says unto Thomas, because thou hast seen me, you believe. You know, that's not really faith, right? That faith is described as the things not seen, yet believing that they are real. That's faith, and that's the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And Jesus goes on and said, blessed are they that have not seen, right? That's talking about us. I didn't see the prince. I didn't see his side. I didn't see his feet. Yet I believe Jesus died for my sins, and I have put my faith in him. Now, does that mean sometimes I doubt? Yeah, sometimes I do. Sometimes I struggle with that, just like Thomas. But Jesus said, blessed are they that believe, that have not seen and yet have believed. Just because I haven't seen it doesn't make it not real. We have, that's one of the things that our text verse says, Acts 1 verse 3, that he showed himself alive with many infallible proofs. And one of those proofs is he was seen of people that can tell us of Jesus. The end of the book of John, where John talks about all of these encounters of people that had with Jesus afterwards. And he says there many other things also. This is John 21, verse 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. In chapter 20, verse 31, he says, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through him. This isn't all that Jesus did. And John said, I couldn't tell you everything. The books couldn't, the world couldn't contain all of the information. Yet we have enough proof so you can believe. That's why it's recorded. Thomas is a good example. He didn't believe. He had to be convinced. That should be a proof for us, knowing that what happened here, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A week later, Jesus appeared in that upper room and said, Thomas, come, touch, believe. And he said, my Lord, my God. And then the third event, and we don't know the day of the week that this is, but there's some implication that it could have been in the evening of that first, the following Sunday, but it doesn't tell us for sure, but it implies that it is. And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, or at the Sea of Galilee, and on this wise he showed himself. So he's going to go ahead there and tell in chapter 21 this story. And then in verse 14 of this same chapter, it says, now this is the third time Jesus has shown himself to his disciples after that he was raised from the dead. The first time as a group, he showed them in the upper room. on the resurrection day on Sunday, and then a week later he showed himself there in Jerusalem again in that upper room. First time Thomas wasn't there, second time Thomas was there. Now it's in Galilee, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. we are going to talk about four things that stand out about this visit to Galilee on this wise showed himself unto his disciples, and we know he showed himself alive. So we find the very first thing that we want to talk about this Galilee visit is that Jesus had told them that he was going to encounter them in Galilee. Three different times they are told that they're going to end up in Galilee. And this is really, really important, I think. But after I am risen again, I will go before you in Galilee. That's Jesus speaking. The angel coming unto the woman, and he says, you go tell the disciples, verse 7, go quickly, tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. Behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. So once Jesus told them, then an angel, and then again in another place, be not afraid, go tell the brethren. So Jesus tells the women, the angel tells the women, go tell them I'm going to see them. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now, this is really important because Jesus says, they go to Galilee, and I'm going to see them there. And then in Matthew, he says, I'm going to be there before they are. And we're going to understand the importance of Jesus saying this, because this event, this third time in which Jesus appears unto his disciples, is going to really solidify their faith in their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because they're still struggling. Even after those two major events and everyone seeing him on the day of the resurrection, they're still struggling with, now what do we do? He's not with us every day. He was there on the first Sunday of the resurrection. Then a week later they see him, and now they don't see him again, it appears, for another week. So they're kind of on their own a little bit and really struggling. So we're going to consider four things that stand out here in this event. John 21, it's in chapter 21, and we're going to talk about this story of Jesus seeing them in Galilee. Here in chapter 21, there were together Simon Peter. Now it lists there's seven disciples. It's kind of interesting if you read. I think I've counted them right, but if you read those, Thomas, Peter, Thomas, and it says he's also called Didius, Nathaniel, the sons of Zebedee, and then two others. So if you count that, if I counted it right, there's seven. So there's 11, right? So where's the other five? I'm not sure. I think they're still all kind of struggling here. And the seven of them are gathered together. And now remember, the two events in the upper room are at Jerusalem, right? One is on the day of the resurrection, and then one is 1 week later from the resurrection. And then after that, when Thomas was there, they're still struggling. And Peter says, I go fishing. Now, the interesting thing is that Jesus has called them, and it's really hard to identify when this happened, when he said, come, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And they forsook all and they followed him. And we don't see them fishing again. This is somewhere a year to a year and a half into the ministry. So for the last year and a half to 2 years, they have not been providing for themselves an income. They have been following Jesus. They've been everywhere Jesus goes, they have gone. And so when we come to this verse here where Peter says, I go fishing, it's very significant because they're in Jerusalem and Galilee is like 60, 70 miles to the north. And it's like a three-day journey. It's not an easy walk. Now, it's 3 days up, which would mean 3 days back. Logic would tell you if on the first Sunday of the resurrection Jesus was there, they saw him on the second, maybe they'll see him on the third Sunday, right? And yet Peter says, I am going to go to the Sea of Galilee. Now, that's really important because Jesus says, go tell my brethren that they go, right? And Peter says, I'm going. So we know how they get. It's kind of interesting. For lots of years until I really started looking at the events, I found it interesting, you know, they're in Jerusalem and then they're in Galilee. How do they get there? Well, Peter is still struggling. He's asked forgiveness, but he's still struggling. And he's gone back now to his old way of life. I go fishing. So the very first thing we want to consider about this Galilee visit is Jesus tells these fishermen how to fish. They have fished all night, it says, and when the morning was come, Jesus and the fishing, that's when at night is when the fish are feeding there in the Sea of Galilee. Jesus stood there on the shore, and but the disciples did not know. I've always found that interesting. The disciples on the road to Emmaus didn't know who Jesus was. The women, Mary, didn't recognize. She thought he was a gardener, right? I don't fully understand what Jesus' glorified body was like, why they didn't fully understand or comprehend who he was right away until Jesus said Mary, then he saw him, and then opened the eyes of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Then they understood it was Jesus. But they didn't know it was Jesus. And Jesus said, do you have any meat? Have you caught any fish? No. Cast on the other side. If you have ever fished, fishing on one side of the boat doesn't do you any better than fishing on the other side of the boat. Now, when I was a kid, 10-year-old Jeff thought fishing on the other side of the boat mattered. Because my dad would fish on one side. He'd say, you go fish over there. He'd catch fish, and I'd want to fish on his side. He'd go to my side, and he'd still catch fish, right? The problem was I was never patient enough to leave my bait in the water. But he says, fish on the other side, and ye shall find. Now, these are professional fishermen, right? And they cast, therefore. You can imagine that they're kind of like, and yet they do it. And as they cast their net, it was so full, they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, we know that there was another occasion when Jesus was with them and told them to do this. So this is kind of like deja vu. Someone say it for me. Thank you. Easy for you to say. And John says, we've done this. We have been here before. And he says unto Peter, it is Lord. Now, when Peter had heard that it was Lord, he put his coat back on, his outer garment, for he was fishing, had taken off all his garments so they could fish. And he put it back on him, and he jumps out of the boat swimming to the shore. And the other disciples, now there's six of them, right, in this ship, this boat. Now, we don't know if, remember, James and John were with their father mending net, and they had left their father there. Whose boat is this? Did they borrow James and John's boat because they're with them? Did Peter give his fishing business to somebody else. We don't know how they came about this boat. But we find the other disciples in this boat. They're not far from land. 200 cubits, which is close to a little less than 200 yards, so less than two football fields, dragging the net with the fish. And they have so many fish, they can't get it in. Now, the six are trying to bring in this net. Who wanted to go fishing? He jumps out of the boat. Now, they're struggling to do what Peter wanted to do, right? The second thing I want us to look at is what Jesus had prepared for them. In the second part, I just called Come and Dine. And as soon as they were on land, they saw a fire, which, you know, that's not that amazing. I assume people who know how to take care of themselves can start a fire. I probably couldn't, but some of you could start a fire. But look at what it says there. Jesus had started a fire, and Jesus already had fish thereon. So Jesus doesn't use their fish. Jesus already had fish he was preparing for them, and bread. Jesus said unto them, bring of your fish that you have caught, or go ahead and bring them on to the shore. And Simon Peter went up and then goes and helps them, and the net is full. And it says how full the net is. So full that most of the time it would have broken the net, but it didn't break their net on this occasion. And Jesus said, after they had secured their catch, come and dine. What an incredible invitation. Jesus said, go tell the disciples they're going to go before. They're going to go to Galilee, but I will see them in Galilee. And Jesus is more prepared than they are. And he says, come and dine. What an incredible invitation. Jesus has things prepared for us before we go and do whatever we think we're going to go do. God already has it prepared in our life. And he said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples dare ask him, who art thou? They knew it was the Lord. And Jesus coming took bread and gave it them, and the fish likewise, and he gave it to them to partake. And so they're sitting there eating this dinner that Jesus has already prepared for them, knowing that they were going to go and to be there. He had already prepared for them. And the third thing I want us to look at is the encounter that Peter has with Jesus. And Peter is going to be asked of the Lord three different times, do you love me? So as they were eating, or when they had dined after dinner, Jesus says to Simon Peter, it's kind of interesting, they're in the upper room. The second time, when Thomas was with them, who was showing doubt? Who was struggling in their faith? Thomas. And Jesus says, Thomas, come, right? Now, Peter was there the first time. Peter was there the second time when the women came and told Peter and John and the other disciples that Jesus wasn't in the tomb. They ran to the tomb and they looked in the tomb and saw that he was gone. But Peter is still struggling in his relationship with the Lord. And we see that when he says, I'm going 70 miles to go fishing. Whether Jesus shows up or not, I'm going 70 miles. And Jesus looks at Peter and he says, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? I find it interesting. Jesus just didn't say, do you love me more than these? Now, there's really two options here. Is he talking about the other disciples whom he said, I go fishing, will you guys go with me? Or is he pointing to the fish? The text doesn't really tell us, although it doesn't appear to be these as in persons, but in objects. Now, there are sometimes people who know Greek better than I do, that there are some instances where a group can be called an object as a group. But I think Jesus is probably pointing to the fish. Peter said, I go fishing. Peter, do you love me? Whether it's the disciples or the fish, he's challenging Peter. Peter's went 70 miles, basically turned his back, kind of a Jonah thing, right? Jesus was in Jerusalem, and yet Peter leaves Jerusalem, leaving Jesus, going back to his old way of life. And he says, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. And the words don't really show here. If you look in the Greek, it's philo, which is I love you as a friend. It's not deeply. It's not the agape kind of love. And he said unto him, feed my sheep. And then a second time he says it again, because Jesus understands Peter's heart. That Peter is still, even though he says, yeah, Lord, you know, I like you. I like you a lot, Lord. And Jesus says, feed my lambs. Second time, feed my sheep. And then a third time, he says, and Peter's getting upset now, why are you picking on me? And he says, feed my sheep. Now, for the last 3.5 years, Peter has been a disciple of Jesus Christ, right? He has been an apostle. He called him to be a major principal in the Lord's church. It says that the Lord first set in the church first apostles, right? And Peter is one of those. And he has such an important role to play in the church, especially coming up. And the Lord knows that. But Peter is still struggling. And he's trying to get Peter to understand that he has a job to do. Now, the first time he says, feed my lambs, meaning that they are vulnerable. Sheep are vulnerable too, but lambs are really vulnerable. You have to protect them and take care of them. And Jesus says, I have prepared you to protect those of my flock that are vulnerable. Peter, if you love me, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Three different occasions. And I've always felt that what he is trying to get Peter to understand is, if you love me, act like it, right? That's really what he's saying. What is your job? Oftentimes people say, I love you, but they don't act like it, right? Peter is saying, Lord, I love you, but he's gone 70 miles to do something else instead of being devoted and committed to his Lord and Savior. And Jesus has said, if you love me, Peter, act like it. And then the last thing I want us to take from this story this morning, we don't always like to be corrected, do we? And Jesus says here to Peter, when you were young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee. Another is going to take care of thee, carry thee whether thou wouldest goest. These things he spake. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he spoke these things, he said, follow me. Now, Jesus has said, follow me before. So he's calling him, if you love me, Peter, act like it. We don't always like to be corrected. Then Jesus turning about, or Peter turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following, and we know this is the Apostle John, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Peter, seize John. Now, Jesus has just said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, you are going to be carried. You are not going to be able to take care of yourself. You're going to have people take care of you, and you're going to be carried around, and you are going to basically die not of your own accord. You're going to be killed for me, signifying what death he should die. And so Peter is like, Lord, are you picking on me? What, enough. And he says, John, and Peter says, is thinking to himself, I went fishing. I'm in trouble for going fishing. John went with me. What about him, Lord? He may have known even other things that he did. And Peter, seeing John, saith, Lord, and what shall this man do? You ever feel like you were in trouble and you didn't want to be in trouble by yourself? And you tell on somebody else? What about him, Lord? Oftentimes, Lord will convict us and we don't like it. And we, well, Lord, they're not doing it either. And just because someone else isn't serving the Lord doesn't mean we shouldn't serve the Lord, right? We answer for ourselves. Peter is responsible for Peter. And he says, what about him, Lord? And Jesus says unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? You follow me. Follow thou me. Jesus has called every one of us to follow him. If you know Christ your personal Savior, we've been called to follow him. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, Jesus would love to be your Savior. And if you'll ask him, he will forgive you of all your sins. And there are certain things we need to do to follow him. Jesus had a plan for Peter's life. You know, there are things that Jesus has a plan for all of us. We should all be saved. We should all be baptized. We should all be church members. We all should be part of a church, Lord's church, serving him, telling others about Jesus, reading our Bible. Follow thou me. Every one of us has that calling to be obedient. But oftentimes when the Lord convicts us, we're like, well, Lord, they're not. We compare ourselves to other people's weaknesses. Lord, I'm doing more than they're doing, so I'm good enough, right? Well, Jesus didn't allow Peter to get away with that. Peter, you are responsible to me. I am responsible for my obedience to Jesus Christ. You're responsible for your obedience to Jesus Christ. When you get to heaven and stand before Jesus and you say, well, Lord, those other people got in my way, that's not going to stand, because you have to answer. 2 Corinthians 5 says, we're going to give an answer at the judgment seat of Christ for all that we've done, whether it be good or bad. I'd much rather give an account for the good than the bad. Follow thou me. That's the invitation for each and every one of us that is a disciple and a child of God. Let's all stand. If the pianist and song leader will come forward. What page you got for us?